detaining me. You about to lose your job. You about to lose your job. Get this dance. You about to lose your job because you are detaining me for nothing.
Welcome to the third episode of the Peas in the Podcast Season 2. Here we discuss trends and provide commentary on media and social justice issues, as well as our own personal life experiences. Please remember to hashtag wear your mask. To start off, we have titled this episode as Death of Celebrity, but we would like to take some time to recognize the influential Black celebrities we lost this year. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, Wakanda forever. Rep John Lewis, Jazz Waters, Bill Withers, Kobe Bryant, Katherine Johnson, Pop Smoke, Jeanette Dubois, and many others, as well as the numerous Black lives lost to police violence and everyday struggles. This episode is more directly about how we treat celebrity slash status in the age of celebrity proximity and cancel culture. Without further ado, let's get into this. Kicking this off to you, Star, with your topic.
All right. Thank you, Daphne. It's been a rough few months losing these greats, these giants. And, you know, when I read that this was our topic for this week, I obviously thought about Chadwick Boseman, and we're talking, I was kind of thinking, is this literal death? Is this metaphorical death? Is this the wish for the death of celebrity, as the title states? And it got me thinking about, like, how I hold the regard I hold celebrities in. You know, everybody says don't meet your heroes because they're inevitably going to disappoint you. And I totally get that. But, and I have, like, so I was, as I was making my notes for this week, I was kind of all over the place and it was a little jumbled, and I have a few examples, and I just don't know where I settled on these notes, not only because I was just kind of writing from the heart, but also because I'm just a little unclear on where I am on this topic in general. So in the fall of 2007, I went to New York City for only the second time ever, and I got to see Hairspray on Broadway, and it was amazing. And my friend Alicia, who I had met on campus, she was really nice. So it was like a school-sponsored trip. My college went just up for the day. And my friend Alicia grew up in New Jersey and Connecticut, so she was used to just, like, going to the city and seeing shows, but I was not used to that life yet, and she asked me if I wanted to stand at the stage door to meet the actors after we saw Hairspray, and I was like, sure, why not, but, like, that's kind of scary because they're famous, and she looked at me, and she said something that I still think about to this day. She said, Starlisha, actors are just normal people with really cool jobs. And I was like, oh.
Facts.
I was like, okay. So that kind of, like, growing up in small town America, it seems unreachable even when you are striving to, like, go to school for theater, and when one of your bucket list items is win a Tony by age of 57. It's like, but you'll never, it's fine. We don't have to land on that too hard.
That's a very specific age.
I know. And now I'm like, oh, I'm 31. That ship has sailed.
It's never too late.
You never know.
It's never too late.
I guess it's never too late.
Didn't Ava DuVernay?
Yeah, 26 not, years.
Yeah, Ava DuVernay didn't pick up a camera until, like, 32.
Right? Something like that.
So look at that.
So it could happen. But that was what Alicia said to me, really stuck with me. And now that I'm older and I possess the ability to hop on a train in non-COVID times and just go to New York and see a show and pop in on Daphne at her job for 5 minutes afterwards.
It's fair.
It's like, oh yeah, people in New York are just people in New York, right? And that's always going to be the example I use, is, like, really going to be the theater world, and the people we regard as celebrities in the theater world are vastly different than the people that the general population regard as celebrities. Because it's not like you're going to be walking down Fifth Avenue and run into Tom Hanks, but you could definitely walk down Fifth Avenue and run into Jasmine Cephas Jones and Anthony Ramos because, like, they live in New York City, and
yeah,
that's what happens. Right. Like, that's normal. That's where they live. That's their hood. Well, Fifth Avenue necessarily isn't, but the whole city is. So as I was thinking about kind of the death of celebrity and what that looks like for COVID times, because I can't just hop a train and wish and dream that maybe I'll see someone walking down the street in New York City, is it's just been really interesting to see the glimpse of people's homes and their lives on TV, on Instagram, throughout this time that we've all been quarantined, because all of America at some point shut down and all of the content creators were at home, and they're giving us this work. And the biggest example I was thinking about was when NBC decided to do Saturday Night Live at home. And that was super cool. I love Saturday Night Live to begin with. And then being able to just like look at these people's houses, I was like, yo, that's Pete Davidson's basement. His mom and sister live upstairs. And like,
oh yeah, no.
It's, and I think, first of all, I love that. Like, they all own this house together, and he's a very Daphne's husband, Pete Davidson, for those of you who don't know.
Yes,
Daphne's husband.
Daphne's husband.
Yes.
There are two types of people in this world, man. There are those people who love Pete Davidson, and then there's those people who hate Pete Davidson.
I love Pete Davidson. I think he's great. And part of, so at first when Daphne would tell us about how much she loved Pete Davidson, I'd be like, I don't know, like, I don't really see it.
And then you crossed over.
And then I crossed over, but then I saw his house.
You converted her.
Right, right. I, like, crossed over, and then I saw his house, and I was like, oh, he's just, like, a normal person with a really cool job.
He's a regular ass regular.
So normal. He was wearing Crocs in these videos he was filming for Saturday Night Live. I'm pretty sure he had his mom and his sister, like, holding his iPhone for him and, like, recording these ridiculous, like, weekly music videos that they put out. And it was just such a cool moment of unity, almost. Like, we're all inside. We are all...
Yeah.
Even though Pete Davidson is making like thousands of dollars more a week than I can ever dream of making, we're all like stuck in the same situation, and it feels more accessible. We talk about accessibility a lot, right? Like when we talk about the entertainment industry. And I thought it was so cool that the producers had the band members record their individual parts to the iconic Saturday Night Live theme song, and you could see them like standing in their living room with their saxophone, or like some dude's in his kitchen or like in their basement studio, because of course they're professional musicians, so they probably have basement studios. And it was just really interesting to get a glimpse into people's lives. And another thing, sorry, like I warned y'all, this is all over the place, so I'm jumping ship. I'm going from Saturday Night Live to ESPN. I was watching The Last Dance on ESPN, which, of course, is about the Bulls and Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, like that whole era.
I think my mom just watched this.
Oh, it's so good.
She was talking about it, yeah.
It's so good, and it's so interesting because I'm quarantined on my couch and I'm watching Michael Jordan do an interview in this, I don't know if it was his house. I don't know if they just rented a house somewhere in California for him to sit in and like do this interview in.
That house looks nice too.
Right? But like, that's not even the point. The point was there were like these suggested videos at the top of the main menu, and it was like, here's a 4-minute compilation of celebrity trick shots. And I'm like, okay. Or just like cool trick shots from Instagram or TikTok or wherever. And some people were just like regular people and like nobody famous. And then occasionally there would be like a video of Serena Williams and her husband and their daughter Olympia. And Serena...
She's adorable.
Oh my gosh. Olympia is just...
so adorable.
She's so cute. And Serena would, like, have her in, like, a little tennis outfit, and they'd be goofing around in the living room. And there were people who have, like, half-court basketball courts in their backyard, and people who have, like, Olympic-sized tennis courts. And I was like, yeah, they are normal, like me. And I can appreciate the normalcy because we're all stuck in our houses, but I will never have enough money or enough backyard to put an Olympic-sized tennis court. Somebody had like a regulation-sized basketball court in a part of their house. Like, it was just the gym, which was really cool. So yeah, it was just like really interesting because I felt like there was a video of like Dwayne Wade doing a trick shot. And then I was listening to Gabrielle Union's book and she's like talking about the house that she and Dwayne designed and their other house. And I'm like, oh, I've seen a picture of this backyard and this basketball court or something. And I'm like, I can...
I thought they had like a cement pool or something. That's all I remember about
something there, yeah. Wild. But it's like you see it on Instagram and then to hear her talk about it in her book that was written a few years ago before COVID even hit, it just felt like so much more relatable. So when I think about the death of celebrity, and I have no real questions or anything, I just kind of jump ship on our format here tonight. I'm freestyling, as Jameer said earlier. But when I think of the death of celebrity, I also think about, like, what do we as regular folks, what do we idolize about celebrities so much? Is it the money? Is it the access? Is it the cement swimming pool? Is it the gradient heated kitchen floor? Because let me tell you, you can put a pool in my backyard, sure, but get me a heated kitchen floor and I would be a happy girl for the rest of my life.
I didn't know that existed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It sounds fancy, though.
See, like, for me, I feel like quarantine has exposed the more human side of celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we were already, like, pushing ourselves towards that. But for me, it's not so much the Olympic-sized tennis court or things like that anymore, because I feel like once you go to college, you start to realize that there are a bunch of kids who are the children of CEOs and long old money who they have the heated kitchen floors and their family, like their dad literally is like a regular ass engineer. Like this man didn't build every bridge in America or something like that. But I think for me, it's more, the idea of celebrity is more around like, who do I frequently see enough that they feel like they're close to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out Black Panther, because that was one of the first times I ever saw Lupita on screen, like big screen. And every time she stepped on scene and spoke her lines, I literally was like, oh my gosh, that's my friend. Right? Like some celebrities, I think, have that warmth and friendliness of like relatability, and then other celebrities, like I would never see, and this is regardless of my feelings about the Kardashians, but I have never looked at a picture of a Kardashian and been like, that's my friend. But anytime Lupita pops up on my feed, I'm like, that's my friend. Right? So it's just really interesting to think terrible. About.
Well, no, I think it's because I also think
Khloé's like my best friend.
Who?
I'm joking. It's not Khloé. It's usually Courtney. I identify with her because I feel like she's like, I feel like people don't ever give her enough attention for all of the hard work that she does. And like, I'm like, that's the good sister. That's me.
That's the good sister.
I'm sick of him.
I cannot.
He makes me sick. But no, what I was going to say is the reason that I even understand what you're saying, Star, in terms of like feeling more connected to Lupita than like the Kardashians, I feel like the Kardashians are still a staple of, like, old celebrity. Where, like, we never see Kim hop on an Instagram Live and she's just talking about her fucking day-to-day. Mm-hmm. We get Kim that is like, hi, guys, I'm sponsoring this makeup packet today.
Here's my walk-in.
Fucking here.
My walk-in and refrigerator.
Yeah, and she's like, I want you to buy this thing or do that thing.
Even when she's trying to be, like, normal, it always just... sounds like I'm watching like an ad on a YouTube video.
Exactly.
Our new cucumbers just came in from Alaska. I had them shipped. I know that the whole world is starving right now, but you know what? My kids deserve good cucumbers.
Cucumbers.
And you just see her throw the cucumbers in the trash. Like,
Yeah, so...
I totally get that.
Yeah, it's just something...
I think that's why people say that, like, Cardi B, because, like, she goes on, like, Instagram Live and stuff sometimes. And, like, we've kind of seen her come up a little bit. Like, I remember her being, like, the Snaggletooth girl, the Snaggletooth stripper
yeah.
of Instagram, right? And then, like, we've seen her, like, elevate from, like, Instagram to Love & Hip Hop to Instagram, like, it's still Instagram music. So it's cool how we get to see her just, like, talk and share her ideas yeah. authentically.
Yeah.
I feel like if Tiffany Haddish did that, it would make her seem a little bit realer, too.
Maybe.
Because, like, yeah, maybe. Like, since I only really know her from her, like, comedic roles and, like, just random weird stuff she does. I see on TMZ or somewhere. I'm like, I wonder if she acts like this in real life. Because this, she's killing me. But, like, at least with Cardi B, since we see the Instagram lives, I don't personally think that that's her being inauthentic. I just think that that's her giving us a brief look into, like, her day-to-day.
I agree. And I was going to use her as an example, and I'm so glad you did. Because I look at Cardi B, and I'm like, I could hang with her. Like, we could we could be friends. So, anyway, those are my thoughts, my cobbled together thoughts.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, because you seem like such a, like, I haven't seen you be turned up like that. You seem, like, very, very, like, I don't want to say anal, but just, like, very, very, like a secretary.
Oh my
I don't
God.
Know, like, with like a secretary means, but like, just, like, you know, very, very, like, put together, very, like, I can't see you getting turned up with, Cardi being the thugs in the VIP.
Oh, we're going to have to cut his time. We're going to have to cut him.
Oh, way off. Way, way, way over time. Way over the lines, Jameer. We'll cut. You know what? We're going to make this a topic. My next week to have a topic.
Does Starleisha know how to twerk?
All right. We don't have to get personal about it because the answer is still no. Well, I think we'll just let Jameer close us out on that harrowing assumption about my life but I'm not sure if I should be offended or complimented by it. So thank you, Jameer. Daphne has a short story for us this week. It sounds great and I can't wait to hear it. Daphne.
All right, so let's get into this one. So this story is called The Swan as Metaphor for Love by Amelia Gray. A swan's foot, like a duck's, is a webbed claw. In traversing swan shit and mud, the claws gunk up and reek. Nobody in the history of the world, save another swan, has licked a swan foot while that foot was still attached to the swan. The feet resemble rabid bats in their sickly color and texture. Moving north on the swan's undercarriage, one will find an eroded civilization of swan shit and pond scum. This is a banal phrase, pond scum. One that is easily ignored, but look closer, take a more personal approach. Swans eat grasses, sedges, and pondweed, each teeming with murk. The birds will also eat insects, snails, and a fresh shrimp if they're near one. Pond scum is more of the same. Swan shit, fish shit, frog shit, half a can of beer poured by some fuck teenager, plastic, photosynthetic residue, algae, permanent bubble, hexagon patch feed from its soccer ball, anthropod corpse, all attached to the swan in its idiot float in its stagnant little inland sea. Swans eat tadpoles. A swan will slurp up entire schools of larval amphibians, process them, and shit them out. And sometimes, then it will sit in the shit or walk through it, and here we are. Anyone who claims that a swan is a majestic and noble creature has never seen a swan up close or smelled its bacterial purge. Swans will attack you if you are nearing their young or their nest. If you are trying to have a conversation with their mate, they have jagged points on their beak, which resemble teeth, but more closely resemble a plumber's saw, which plumbers call a Tiny Tim. If you try to take a swan's picture, he will strike you with his beak. Too much attention enrages a swan. The swan has a long neck and will strike at you. The swan will bite you and tear your flesh. Swans mate for life, which is maybe 10 or 15 years. Someone found a swan once that was 24 years old and probably it was mating for life, which everyone made a big deal out of, even though the swan was not even old enough to rent a car. The swan wasn't old enough to silently hyperventilate in bed. The swan didn't have a bed. The swan was too stupid to have a bed, and if it did, it would fill the bed with swan shit. That's all for today about swans. And that is the story.
I have more questions than I do answers about that.
Go ahead. We have a little bit of time, right? How much time we got?
You got a little bit of time. So where's the love metaphor here? Is it the shit part? Like, is love the shit that it's swimming in? Is love the shit that we're swimming in?
I don't answer questions in this segment, but you are allowed to ask them.
That feels awful, but okay.
If you would like to read this story because you can't follow along to me or anything like that, of course the link will be provided. But we are moving on to Jameer, who I'm passing the mic to for your topic. Let's get into this.
Okay, so the death of celebrity, right? All right, so we love them, we hate them, and I guess we stand them. From politicians to musicians, we really have just created this culture in which people who are popular are idolized to the point where they often can't be critiqued. Or have we?
No one is above
critique. Yes, I'm talking about celebrities. Or celebrity, rather. The status we have given real people with real emotions and lives that has detached them from our real world lives. So, yeah. I've seen like some people argue that the rise of celebrity has caused things like opulency and materialism to seep its way into Black pop culture. But I would argue that things like that have always been there. Just like hip hop has reinvented modern ideas of camp throughout the years, some of these elements like chains, gold, and more have really just adorned our ancestors hundreds and even thousands of years ago. But back on topic, I feel like celebrity is often looked at from a negative lens. We don't talk about the millions people like Beyonce and Oprah have given to charity.
Did he just say Oprah?
We also don't talk about how...
He sure did. He mentioned Oprah, and it's in his notes. He said Oprah. He wrote it on purpose and then said it on purpose.
You don't like Oprah?
Not on this podcast.
Well, Jameer, you knew this.
She's done some good things. And some bad. If I'm going to switch Oprah with who else?
Oprah. Anybody. And...
Literally not.
Okay, we're going to say Oprah and Mariah Carey.
Okay, yo, you know what, Jameer? Every day you prove that you are problematic.
You don't like Mariah Carey?
You are fucking problematic.
You don't like Mariah Carey?
Denzel Washington. Beyonce and Denzel Washington. How hard was that?
Okay, Beyonce and Denzel Washington have given to charity. We also don't talk about how private citizens have been tasked with righting the wrongs of career politicians and government officials. I couldn't put up the tweets because No Name has made her Twitter private once again for some other mess. But she brought up this idea of how instead of bragging about nice things, celebrities could possibly brag about different projects they've created for the betterment of their communities. Like, well, you built homes? Well, I built a few schools. You did this? Well, I did that. But then she's also talked about how, in a lot of ways, celebrity as we know it needs to be dismantled due to its connection to capitalism, which she considers is an inherently racist framework. Ooh. Now, I don't have the time to jump into all of that, but what I will say is that we use celebrities to entertain us. Those are their personas. It's their job.
Yep.
They sell us ideas and we support them. This goes for musicians and really politicians as well. So in terms of like the questions I just wanted to bring up, is it wrong that celebrities be compensated for their likeness?
No.
Is it wrong that their God-given talents as well as their hard work has allowed for them to somehow escape poverty?
Yes.
And is it wrong for them to flex?
I'm going to say the second and third question are dependent.
On? What are they dependent on?
So, in the first question, would you say, should they be compensated for who they are?
For their likeness. Yeah.
Yes. I'm like, the only person I can think of immediately is Kim Kardashian. Like, if I worked on my brand as hard as she works on her brand, you better fucking pay me. It's like she did a lot of rebranding to create this image that she now has. So, like, I did all that work, you better fucking pay me. But with your second questions, as far as them being allowed to flex or escape poverty... One, not everybody has God-given talent, nor are they talented. They just happen to have a rich ass daddy, ooh, brother, mother, sister who has the ooh name, the last name Baldwin or ooh Waynes or whatever the fuck. The whole goddamn Nicolas Cage's family, the Coppolas, they just got connections. The Francis and Coppolas they were put, like, if you're, if mm-hmm you're put, yeah, if you're gonna be put in a spot to succeed, like, not another, like, the thing is, what stops most people is the access to opportunity. These people are literally put in on the doorstep of opportunity. Now, whether they're good or not, whether they get far with it, yeah, you have to do some kind of work. But then there's also the reality that, like, you are probably not the best person. You just have more opportunity and access to it than someone else. So saying that they deserve billions of dollars for already being rich and famous, no. Am I against?
But that's not but all of them, though.
But that's not, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I said it depends. That's why mm-hmm I said the first and second one depend. And in terms of, like, them being allowed to flex or talk about, like, you know what, fuck it, I am a celebrity, I am famous, like, pay me my money. Yeah, I'm doing a service. If I do a service, you gotta fucking pay me. I don't give a shit if I show up to a book signing. I don't care if I'm on a podium talking about my day. Y'all niggas care because y'all showed up. So give me my money. Like, I hate check when people be, like, trying to bash Kim Kardashian and be like, oh, she's a this, she's a that. Da-da-da. I'm so sick of the Kardashians. I'm like, the only reason you could say that is because y'all niggas are still paying attention. Like, if we don't want somebody to have access to wealth or any kind of privilege, any of that shit, niggas would stop paying attention to them and they wouldn't have the money. But I'm like, if I do a service, you owe me some fucking money. And that's it.
I definitely agree with that.
Star, you're giving a face like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I think this is where I go back to, like, what I was saying in my segment is, like, what, excuse me, what about celebrity draws us to celebrity, right? Like, I'm trying to gather my thoughts. There's a big difference between LeBron James going in and negotiating with the NBA owners this week, right? There's a big difference between that, which is noble and wonderful and, like, almost brings him down to our level. There's a big difference between that and Halsey going out and being a street medic during these protests in June, right? And I'm not saying that one is better than the other. I'm just saying there's, like, that level of humanity. Am I making sense?
No. I get you.
I feel like both are needed.
Right,
though.
Both are needed. Yeah. Sure, but definitely.
I think what that is how we categorize celebrity, right? It's like, who can I think of? Who's somebody that we, like, most people generally know, but, like, our parents wouldn't recognize? Like a...
Well, Halsey's one of them, probably.
Yeah, you don't actually... Yeah, Halsey. Yeah. Halsey. It's like people in her generation and her time, we know who Halsey is. But if we say Halsey or play a song to our parents, they'll be like, who the fuck is that? They don't know. But if we say Beyonce, they're like, oh, I know who Beyonce is, you know? And I think there is... because we exist in a capitalistic society, we do tend to try to... We do try... Like, with our celebrities... And I only can say this because we physically see them and everybody's kind of the jury and judge on their behaviors. But with them, it's easier for us to say, if I go to a Halsey show, she might just stand there and sing at the mic. Like, people literally criticize SZA for that. They were like, she just stands there and sings at the mic. Compared to a Beyonce, who I know I'm going to get a song, a dance, a number, some kind of big extravagant light show. Right. And so... that elevates the conversation around who Beyonce is and what her work ethic looks like compared to SZA. Like, we love Control. We would compare that to any other albums. We would probably play Control more than we would play Lemonade, but we still know that Beyonce is the quote-unquote stronger artist or the harder-working artist in our heads for how we see it. So when we talk about Halsey being out in the street compared to LeBron James, this huge, huge figure with this huge, huge platform... pulling in the most powerful men in his industry together to have this conversation, they mean two different things. And it's like the humanizing part of it all is in seeing it in the Halseys. we see the Halseys in the street. I think it was like Harry Connick Jr. during Hurricane Katrina. Like, he literally just flew out there bare hands and was like, I'm going to help people build these houses. I still laugh to this day. What's the oldest Jonas brother's name? Kevin?
Kevin.
So Kevin. When he broke up, what the hell? You know, Jameer, you're going to shut your problematic ass up.
No, you know, Kevin is Republican and he voted for Donald Trump. He followed Donald Trump and his son on Instagram.
Ooh, toxic. Ugh. Okay, we don't support Kevin, but that's not the point. So, the point is, when they broke up, he was building, like, houses or something. And I guess it was, like, a hobby he wanted to pursue. But they ended up on, like, an HGTV show where he was one of the, like, construction workers. And the woman whose house was being built, as she's being interviewed, she stops. She goes, wait a minute. Aren't you, like, famous or something? Don't you do something? And literally everybody around him, he's just looking around like, do I answer this? And he's like, yeah, I used to be in a music group. She's like, yeah. Your brother's, like, really famous. You too. You did something. What was your group name? And he was like, the Jonas Brothers. She goes, oh, yeah. You're building houses now? Like.
Yeah, it's
she was so perplexed. But it's like, we forget that celebrities have the space and the capacity to do normal human things. Like, Beyonce paints. Like, with the singing and the dancing. Yes, like.
And she plays the piano now.
Yeah, like, she makes great art. Like, and it's so weird because, like, when you talk to, like, your talented artist friends, you're like, oh, you do so much. Like, you write, or you dance, or you sing, and you do this, and you do that. And then we forget that celebrities, because they're just more well-known, that they don't have, like, the one trick up their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in terms of what makes LeBron James so much more important. That's not the right word. Powerful?
Is he, though?
What's his positioning that puts him above other people?
Privilege?
Absolutely. But what is his positioning that, like, how do you get to the point of everybody speaks about LeBron James? We don't speak about, like, other basketball players who are on his team or stuff like that. And I think it goes right back to what I said about Beyonce. It's that capitalism in us. We are so rooted in, like, LeBron worked the hardest because we saw him go for rings. And LeBron promised this and LeBron did that. And we see it. So the public generally creates the society around how we see that celebrity. And it's not like something that they, like, they contribute to it. They do the work for it. But it's like when people say to me, like, oh, Jay-Z's, like, one of the greats. Like, he's a great rapper. I'm just like, I really don't like Jay-Z. Yeah. I'd be like, these lyrics, they not doing it for me, bruh. Like, some of his older stuff, yeah. But now I'm just like, nigga, you could have left that in the drafts. Like, nobody needed that garbage. But people are like, it's Jay-Z, though. And it's like, he gets this sense of notoriety because everybody's talking about it. And everybody hypes it up.
Can I say something about LeBron James? And I know we're getting hung up on this illustration. But LeBron James started and funds a school in Ohio, like, in his hometown. So it's like, even when we're comparing LeBron James to Halsey. Halsey's, like, out in the street getting bloody and no one recognizes her because she's got, like, a bandana on her face because COVID is happening. So, to, like, LeBron James, who goes and speaks at his academy. And it's like, but isn't that, it's so and I do this comparison, so I will criticize myself, but, like, it is so unfair for me to have those comparisons, right? Because it's like,
yeah,
there is,
because also LeBron has so much more money. So during, like, the whole bailout fund, right, how has he raised something like $700,000 to get people out of jail? But, like, and then, like, when you compare that to other celebrities, I guess what, No Name has the book club. What's he done with that? Like, can you compare, like, raising hundreds of thousands of dollars to get people out of jail? Can you compare that to a book club?
Right,
like, it's really hard to, like,
I think with that, though, not every, like, that's the biggest misconception, is that every celebrity is rich. So, like, who, Never assume it's not the truth. Never assume people when you know what's in people's pockets. That goes for your friends, they do not your family, own them clothes. Celebrities. Never assume what is in people's pockets. But with that, I think there's just so many levels to that. There's so many levels to society that we can't pinpoint one as the most important. You know, like some people will be like, shut up and dribble. Like, you shouldn't be talking about social injustice. LeBron James should be dribbling a basketball. Shut the fuck up. It's like, no, his job is black just people one actually saying entity. That too,
which is really upsetting to me.
Dumb. But it's like his job is just one entity of a society that we create. Like, we have all of these different lanes that people can jump into. Let them jump into it. It doesn't mean that you're better or worse. Like, I was watching, it was like this discussion with Angela Rye and Hailey Bieber and all of the stuff. And it hurt my soul because one of the speakers, she had said, she was like, when I get black models that come in or whatever, she's like, they just usually don't do good on print, or they don't do good at like speaking for commercial or stuff like that. She's like, I only hire the best. She's like, no matter what color you are, she said, but I do talk about when things are racist. And in my head, I'm just like, if we don't ever get the access to the opportunity to grow and elevate our thing, you can't say that we're, like, you can't say that we're less than, or we're not as experienced, or we're not as good. Because I'm like, if I never had the fucking opportunity to get to the quote unquote good, like, you're never going to find me there. You're never going to find people that look like me there. So you have to take people wherever they are. And it's like, yeah, I could be like the greatest filmmaker, but I'm making shit on my iPhone. And it's like, I shouldn't be judged because I don't have like a HD camera and I'm spending out tens of millions of thousands of dollars on creating something. But like, I think now as we get further along in the digital space, we look at celebrity different. So when we talk about how LeBron James is spending his money, that nigga got the money to do it. Yeah. And it's like, but he didn't always have that. It's like that built up over time. And then you also bring in the fact of like, when I do get X amount of money, I want to do, like, everybody does it. Everybody plans ahead what they would do if they had $1 million or if they had some such and such. And it's just like, these rich and famous people ended up getting there and now they're doing it. But it doesn't make No Names book club less important. The work is still getting done. Now, if we threw $1 million at her, that book club would be Oprah's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be real.
She probably needed a little bit more than $1 million.
A billion.
Either way. In a capitalistic society, the more money we throw.
It still matters and it's still, like, it's important. Yeah. And you can only do what you can do within your realm. Like.
Yeah.
The money for her to expand isn't just going to come out of nowhere. That's why, like, again, going back to when we were talking about the whole thing with J. Cole. Now I guess it's time to really jump into Starz Notes on the Theater World.
I'm ready. So, if y'all tuned in last week, you know that I was noticeably absent from the conversation. And
wow.
After a little bit of tension, we got it figured out. You know, friends. We're all friends here. But I was so busy, y'all. Like, I have never, for there being a pandemic happening, I can't remember the last time I was, so busy that I was like, guys, I cannot record this podcast. And I was, like, starting to freak out because I was like, I really wanted to, and I just couldn't do it. And the reason was because my theater company, Disrupt Theater Company, here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, had our...
Let them know.
Had our debut show this past Friday, the 28th of August, and last week was Tech Week, so I was just thoroughly unavailable to do anything other than sleep and eat and shower and be in rehearsals and meetings because we're doing theater over Zoom, which was like a very intricate process. I just wanted to let y'all know we're on Facebook, so give us a follow, Disrupt Theater, and it's THEATRE company on Facebook. Nothing fancy. It was a wonderful show. The show was Smart People by Lydia R. Diamond, and it deals with race and class and sexual politics. And I think it's still up on, it is definitely still up on our Facebook. I don't know if it will be by the time y'all hear this, but even if it isn't and you hear this and you want to watch it, let me know. And I will pop that back up for like an encore weekend or something, because a lot of people were really, really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed getting to kind of just sit back and watch my actors do what they do. So it's been really interesting producing theater over Zoom, and what does that look like? And are we just kind of sitting and staring into the camera? Are we staring off from the camera? Are we reading our lines? Are we memorized? So I had decided that it was going to be more of a staged reading, just because people are stressed because people are dying all the time. And I wanted to alleviate that pressure on my actors of like not having to memorize their lines for a live Zoom show. But yeah, it was really great. We had a lot of fun. It was just such a blast, and it was so fun to witness theater again, because I know a lot of us have really been missing it. And yeah, we got a lot of good compliments, a lot of people who were like, this was great. What this was going to be. Oh yeah, Daphne watched it.
It was.
People were
I watched it too on Facebook. It was amazing.
Jameer, you watched it too?
Yeah, I watched it on your Facebook page. I couldn't make it that night because I had to work. But I got to, you had shared something on Facebook, and I was like, oh, I guess that means that it's up now. So yeah. I went on your page. It was really nice.
Oh, thank you.
It didn't seem like they were just reading off the script either, yeah, which is something I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
The talent just jumped out.
I'll just say it, like, I did not expect the visceral feeling of, like, missing normalcy that was never normal. And it was just so weird, because I was just like, these are all conversations that we're still having. Like, they still exist. And then by the time we got to see, like, talking about the Obamas and stuff, I was just like, oh, I miss them so much. And, like, it's so shitty because it's one of those things where it's like, he wasn't the world's greatest politician. He didn't end world hunger and bring world peace. And, like, there was also still corruption there. And it's like, yeah, you deal with those conflicts. But when you look at what the fuck we're dealing with now, I'm just like, I miss normalcy that wasn't really normal.
Yeah.
This new normal is not okay. And I was just like But I thought it was a great show. The actors were like extremely enthusiastic and a joy to watch. It was really well done, Star.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked really hard. And that's, yeah, I mean, I could talk about this forever, but one of the things, we had the local paper come and do an interview with the cast and my assistant director and I said that one of the things about this play is that it was, for me, very much a nostalgia play. In 2008, I was not excited about Barack Obama, but in 2016, I was very excited about Barack Obama. And then now in 2020, I'm like, oh, Barack Obama. So like having that moment in the end of the play where we could utilize Zoom to its potential and share my assistant director's screen and watch pictures go by of the Obamas on Inauguration Day 2009. And then the video of him swearing in, it just felt very like, oh, I'm getting chills. Just talk about it. Woo! It's one of those moments that was like, I'm going to hit people hard. It was like a very hard gut punch that I purposely wanted to make. And one of my friends watched it yesterday and she FaceTimed me and she was like, I'm so proud of you. And she's like, I'm crying happy tears for you, but I'm also crying sad tears because I miss Obama so much. And she had these giant tears rolling off her face. I was like, good. Then I did my job well. So I'm very proud of what we created. I'm very proud of my actors. And I think next month, September, we'll have some more virtual theater coming your way.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, Daphne, are you ready?
I am. Okay. So We wouldn't be able to talk about the death of celebrities without discussing the copious amount of celebrities who have been canceled over the years. Whew. Cancel culture is defined as the popular practice of withdrawing support for or canceling public figures and companies after they have done or said something considered objectionable or offensive. Cancel culture usually manifests through social media platforms like Twitter. In recent times, and I mean very fucking recent, Adele is apparently up next on the chopping block to be quote-unquote called out, but not canceled. There's a big difference. Call-out culture and cancel culture are two very different things, people, and y'all need to notice what they are. So, now, if you haven't already, I'm doing this as a personal courtesy to you all, you beautiful listeners. I recommend you scrub down your Twitter and your Facebook and your Tumblr for any particularly offensive language you used 10 plus years ago if you are seeking a fruitful career. Because the internet hounds will come out to fucking bite. I am kicking off this topic in discussion of how cancel culture simultaneously destroys our image of celebrity. So long gone are the ideas that celebrities are wholesome and epitomized as leaders. In today's age, they are few and far between and very much human. I mean, unless they are Beyonce. She's literally untouchable. When you think about the concept of 6 degrees of separation, you realize you may already know a celebrity in some way. Due to the age of Instagram, quote unquote, here comes the buzzword, dun dun dun, influencers.
Ugh.
All public figures are on the chopping block to be canceled for their flawed behavior, and in the digital age, your problematic ways may cost you your job. Get this dance, because you are about to lose your job. Hey.
What?
So you are about to lose.
My question. You didn't see this video?
You about to lose your job.
Get this dance.
Job. Job.
I'm going to play that track right here for anybody who doesn't know in the link
you got
we provide.
To.
Is this shit really worth you losing
your job?
Your job. So here's my questions. I found a tweet that said, complaining about cancel culture is a new political correctness complaint. With that, isn't cancel culture the requirement of being politically correct? And I must say this, I hate the term politically correct. It's people's lives that we're talking about. That's not political and that's not debatable. So my question, isn't cancel culture specifically about becoming more politically correct? Or am I bugging?
I don't think so. I believe that if it was about becoming more politically correct, right, we'd be opening up and more space for people to evolve. But instead of opening up space for them to evolve, a lot of times when we cancel people, we cancel them in it like we don't, like we cancel them and we throw them away. Like that's what people have been doing to Doja Cat, right? When he found out that she was in those chat rooms. Like, it's funny because they're like, yeah, she was in those racist chat rooms. About, like, I don't think those were specifically racist chat rooms. But because people went with that narrative, she's been canceled, right? So every time I see Doja Cat on my Twitter timeline, it's people like, isn't that Doja Cat? And they spell it with, like, 3 K's in the beginning. Doja Cat Cat. Doja KK Cat. Doja. Or they'd be like, I wonder if they play her music at the KKK get-togethers, the KKK Black Party.
Oh my God.
Like, I'll see, like, tweets like that about her, like, she's canceled. It is crazy, because I don't even think Black people even listen to her music like that. But it just was the fact that, like, one of the things that she had said, right, that, like, people keep referring to, she was talking about not liking her hair, and how, like, as a Black woman, y'all go through, like, so much in terms of, like, you know, loving your hair. Well, yeah, she was talking about, like, how she was having, like so much trouble with it, right? And I'm like, isn't that, like, a common Black girl thing to talk about your hair? To talk about learning to love it and I don't know. Like, the fact that...
Nah, she ain't read the room.
Like, she can't even have Black girl experiences no more without being canceled. It's crazy.
No, you know what? I'll say this, and I'm not coming to anyone's defense. It's more a matter of reading the room. Once you get canceled, anything you say or do will be held against you. Yep. So if you don't come 100% correct, like you can't, people can't take people in a a multiplicity of themselves. They need you to be the one trick pony. They need you to always be
You 100% one way.
You gotta be full Bill Cosby, full R. Kelly. And there's no like middle ground between that. Which actually leads me to my next question. And I'm asking y'all this because I don't personally want to form an opinion on it just yet in my life. But do we separate the art from the artist? Where do we draw the hard lines? Because in that case of Doja Cat, there are some of us who do listen to Doja Cat or listened to Doja Cat. But now we're at the point where it's like, oh, you're canceled. How do I avoid giving you any kind of financial gain? Because listen, a bitch will stream for free. But if you're going to get some coins out of it, no.
I think it's really weird. So for the most part, I don't really cancel artists unless like they've done like some. Like the only artist I've really canceled was R. Kelly.
Ever?
Like, and yeah, like, and I've been, R. Kelly been canceled to me since, like, maybe I'm a Flirt. That's the only song I like by him. And, like, I had to take it off my phone. So, like, but that's, like, that was the only R. Kelly song I had. So, yeah, because, and, like, I remember even telling my grandma at the black parties. I'd be like, Grandma, why the hell? Well, I wouldn't say why the hell. I'm like, Grandma, why are you playing R. Kelly music? And she'd be like, he ain't touch me.
Grandma.
And this was as a little kid. So I know that, like, these conversations around R. Kelly and stuff have been happening for decades. And the fact that, like, people still be wanting to listen to him.
Oh, my God.
They said that the protesters at, like, they said that he got beat up in jail the other day. Because since the protesters keep coming up to the jail or whatever, like, they keep putting the jail on lockdown. And the guy was upset. So he, like, beat R. Kelly up.
Well.
I'm like, damn, Robert. Damn. Robert. But, yeah, like. But besides R. Kelly, like, all the other artists that y'all be, like, y'all canceled Daniel Caesar, I've seen that nigga live 3 times.
Jameer, but you always doing problematic shit.
What happened with Daniel Caesar? What's his deal?
Oh.
So he had defended, so Yes Jules is like this white radio host, and people be hating on her, but they be hating on her because she says, like,
dumb
she
shit.
Knows that she's a white girl with a big butt, and she knows that, like, black men like white girls with big butts, so she'll say, like, goofy stuff, and then, like, black men will just let it slide. Like, one time she made a freestyle rap, but she was talking about how, like, the black girls be hating on her. But yeah, like, he had, he was drunk on Instagram Live or whatever, and he said that, yeah, like, all white people aren't racist, and we gotta stop being mean to Yes Jules, and other stuff like that. And then all these people's like, well, you're going to get canceled for saying that all white people ain't racist. He's like, all right, y'all can cancel me. And he was like, yeah, fine, you cancel. And then, like,
okay, there's a little, like, bit more. There's a little bit more than that.
I'm sorry, I asked a question that gets us off topic.
No, there's a little bit more to what Daniel Caesar did. He said some kind of
problematic.
Self-hating. No, some more self-hating anti-black stuff.
Got it.
And basically, people were like, you over here calling black women ugly, but look at you, homeboy. Them teeth don't connect. Anyway.
Ooh. But yeah, I do think that, like, we can separate the art from the artists. Because I feel like we've done that to so many white musicians. People don't talk about John Lennon being abusive. They don't talk about...
Who?
John Lennon from the Beatles.
Yes, the fuck they do. He beat Yoko Ono's ass. And that nigga ain't make no good enough music that, like, people is listening to him.
I feel like I've only heard people talk about that in recent times.
No. See, white, like, people, I didn't grow up hearing white about people that. Cancel culture is a very different reality than black people.
It's a very
people.
Different.
David Bowie?
Because white people have been doing some foul, fucked up shit for years. And white people be like, oh,
and we
but
just
they
let
make,
it slide.
But they're a legend. And blah, 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 blah. Chris Brown did some shit when he was a teenager. And niggas are still harping on that to this day. And I'm just like, yo, if the people involved already are, like, forgiving each other and over it, shut the fuck up and get over it.
Rihanna was on Instagram Live listening to Chris Brown music one day.
Shorty made songs with this man couple like less than 2 years later. Like everybody ain't else holding business. on in support and solidarity of Rihanna. And I'm like, but do you tell your homeboy that who be beating his girlfriend's ass on the weekend? Mm. Y'all niggas hate Chris Brown so much, but y'all stop to record when the chick is getting assaulted in the goddamn subway station or some shit. I'd be like, yeah. I don't want to hear that. That's the easy scapegoat. Check your real
people. Yeah, I think that, people. I feel like it definitely is important to hold artists accountable Absolutely. For their actions and the things that they say and stuff. I think that's very important. But I also think that, I can benefit from... Well, I don't want to say benefit, but I feel like I can appreciate their art while... I can appreciate their art while... acknowledging that they aren't the best person.
I still don't have an opinion on it. But I do have my last question. And this one, I really want to say with this one. So, is cancel culture beneficial in all the ways it comes, or do we need to restructure it? As in, a statute of limitations on certain things, so to speak.
Yes.
So, maybe.
I also think that, we need to create, I feel like cancel culture would be more beneficial if it actually created a 12-step plan for people to get uncanceled.
Hmm.
After they put out the little notes app apology or whatever, they all always, I am ashamed. I can't believe that I would have said this when I was 12 years old.
Yeah, they always come with the same Twitter. Copy and paste. They all got the same PR.
Yeah, same copy and paste. I can't believe myself. I wasn't raised like this. SMH. I feel like we really need, a 12-step program. If you complete these steps, then, you good. Also, yeah, we need, definitely a statute of limitations. Because people be hate, I know Camila Cabello said some wild stuff. Because I found an old Tumblr. Whew. But that wild stuff she was saying was between when she was 13 and 16.
And you know what?
I teach 13-year-olds.
Yeah.
If I were to counsel them for the stuff that they said in class, then all these people.
And that's my thing too. Not only that, when people we talk about they were kids or they're kids. Some of them people of color usually end up being kids when they're getting canceled. White people be in their fucking 30s and they be like, he's a kid. No the fuck.
Oh yeah, they be in it. Yeah,
that nigga white full people grown. Be old. His frontal lobe is fully developed. Mm-hmm. I don't hear that shit. But when they say that, I'm like. Yeah, so we need to sit and recognize that we are exposing our children to these problematic and detrimental ways of thinking.
Yes.
These kids didn't just pop it up out their ass and, racism and injustice only exist in middle and high school. No, goddammit. When you are 23 and you're getting canceled for something that you said when you were 15, you gotta sit with it. You gotta be mm-hmm. Yep, I said that goofy shit. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I hope that within the last so-and-so amount of years that y'all have known me, I have done enough due diligent work to show that I don't align to those same beliefs. Mm-hmm. And I feel like niggas is uncomfortable because they want to be woker than thou. They're uncomfortable being I didn't know what I didn't know. And I fucked up in the past.
Back in the day, yes.
But you gotta, I do feel like there needs to be a statute of limitations on it. We gotta learn to accept when the person has shown and proved. Now, niggas like R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. They're going to be canceled forever.
Throw their ass away.
They're going to be canceled forever. Mm-hmm. And that's just...
Forever.
That's just what it is. Because you did it for years, bruh. Years. And people told your ass.
And they let it slide under the rug for years. What?
Well, that's all my stuff on cancel culture. And I'm sending this to Jameer to take us out with what we're listening to.
Okay. This has been, a crazy week. So... Jasmine Sullivan just dropped a new gem. It's called Lost Ones, and that's been on repeat. It is a selfish lover anthem, and I'm all for it. I'm all for people admitting to being selfish, all for people acknowledging that they know what's wrong, that we often feel entitled to people, and we feel like asking them to wait for us is justified. So if you are admittedly selfish like this, you might love this song. I've also been listening to a lot of LMI. I don't think we really get in... to her vocals enough. She's an amazing vocalist. Songs like Close and Naked really show off parts of her tone that are really intoxicating. I just wish that she didn't have all that damn talking and shit at the end of her
episode. She be doing whole fucking skits. Like, so annoying. I'm like, yo, wrap this shit up.
It's like, it's. I think it's supposed to be a poem. Remember the, like how we all, the spoken word stuff? That's what it sounds like. Bad spoken word.
Yeah.
But, and last but not least, I've really been getting back into my Brandy bag. I've been preparing for her versus battle with Old Girl. Brandy has some classics. Honestly, they both do. I kind of hope that they do it in the same vein as Jill and Erica's. Like them sharing stories and vibing. That's my hope anyway. I also have the I have the verses pulled up muted on my other phone right now. And they're like sitting down and talking. So like hopefully that means something's good is happening.
All right. All right.
Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Peas in the Podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave us a review. Share with all your friends. And until next time, have a great week.
Bye.